Hey, welcome to Braves Country.
At the end of last year on the Braves Country podcast, we had the pleasure of having Demon Jones on the show. And if you don't know Demon Jones, he had about a 10-year run as a member of the band Rehab. He co-wrote Colt Ford's hit Ride Through the Country featuring John Michael Montgomery. Some people describe his music as hip-hop. He prefers the more straightforward country rap. He's from Jones County, Georgia, just north of Macon, and he is a huge Braves and Dogs fan. I just met him, and I can't wait to introduce you to Demon Jones on Braves Country. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.
Welcome to Braves Country. My name is Tug Coward along with Scott Munn. We are joined by a guy that I can't wait to get to know more about. His name is Demon Jones. He is from Jones County, Georgia, just north of Macon. You've had records in 2014, Jones County. You had 2016's The Beast, 2018, Jones in Your Speaker. You had a couple albums in 2018, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, I kind of lose track of it. But, yeah, I try to do one every year, but it usually ends up being like every 18 months to 2 years.
All right.
But some years, two of them fall. And yeah. I do some collaborative works with other artists that usually fall in the same year.
Yeah.
It's one of my records.
I love it. Solo career started 2014 after a 10-year run with the band Rehab, which I was a huge fan of.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and have so many great memories of listening to that band. So it's cool that that you have that, you know, as a foundation, because that was such a successful act, you know?
It was, and my involvement lasted, I think, from late 04, early 05 to May of 2014. And Danny Boone was always the creative genius mm-hmm. behind the band, even before I was involved.
Sure.
And, you know, I was involved. I mean, at first I started off being basically a merch guy,
mm-hmm.
helper that would jump on stage and sing a song.
That's what Cole Swindell did.
Yeah,
with Luke Bryan.
Yeah. And then it ended up being I was on stage for two or three songs, half the show, the whole show. And then I ended up being a tour manager, and part of the band. And really, I was just there because of how much I was really inspired by Danny Boone's genius and the excellence of the band. It was, for me, I think it had the potential to be one of the most powerful bands on the planet. And it didn't work out like that, but we still got a hell of a lot of education and experience from it. And I'm grateful. Really grateful to Danny and just all the guys for the, you know, experience.
Well, that's cool. And you got the latest record, Southern Sun, is out now. Co-wrote Welcome to Georgia with the Georgia Boys, and I love the way you spelled it, Georgia. Stretch it all out.
Yeah, well, they kind of came up with that, but, you know.
No, did they? Okay.
But, you know, those are some really good guys, too, and they were doing the country rap stuff really early, mm-hmm. not long after Colt Ford.
Yeah.
And, you know, when that stuff started, I think 07, 08, people were not really ready for it.
No, you're right.
I had already been kind of pushed to do that before that, even mm-hmm. like 02, 03, and I didn't. But some of the stuff I wrote during that time would end up being used on the first Colt Ford album, Ride Through the Country.
Which I loved. Yeah. I love that whole, and Colt's such a nice dude, and I love spending time with him, and he's a great golfer.
He's a great guy, man. I've known him for 20 years, and I met him back during the Bubba Sparks days, and him and Bubba kind of came up together, and I ended up, my first gold plaque was from co-writing a Colt Ford song, you know,
right. How cool
something
that
nobody thought could happen at the time, you know, and then it ended up being successful.
He's playing a concert for a station that I work with, 101.5 here in town, on October 15th. He and Brantley and Landco and Lily Rose are on that. And but going back to Ride Through the Country, man, I remember the first time I heard that, and I was like, what is this? Because this is fantastic. I loved it when I heard John Michael Montgomery singing on it.
I was like, you know, he's singing over something that I helped create, right. and it was just, it kind of blew me away.
I'm telling you, this is when I still had a CD player in my car, you know, I remember just sitting on repeat, and I played it over and over and over, and I remember my family was like, can you stop playing the song? You know, I mean, that's how many times I played it.
Right.
Because I loved it so much.
It took off, man. It took off.
It sure did.
And it really opened the door really cold, and it doesn't matter who's listening. It's just a fact. You know, people like to say Johnny Cash was a rapper or Elvis Presley, and, you know, everybody, there's always rhythm and rhyme to it, but Colt Ford, what he did, the door he opened, without Colt Ford, there is no Lax, there is no Georgia Boys, there is no Demon Jones, there is no Upchurch, there's no space for that, and he helped kind of clear that out. And now within that genre, there's different, it's almost like gangster country rap, you know, hip hop country rap, hunting, fishing country rap, you know, there's all these different facets of the genre, and it's really just people like myself that grew up in the middle of a hayfield listening to Tupac and the Beastie Boys, and but that the lyrics and the subject matter of the 80s and 90s hip hop did not relate to us, you know, like we were not selling drugs and shooting people and doing things like that and fighting with the police, but we were working hard and running through the woods barefoot, and you know, we got stuff to talk about too. And,
absolutely.
And so I'm grateful.
It's funny you bring that up, is because I say this all the time and people kind of scoff at or laugh at me a little bit. I say country and hip hop are not that much different.
No, they're not.
They talk about growing up, the way you grew up, it happens to be in a city or in the country, but it's the same thing. You're just telling the story of how you came up.
It's storytelling, and it, you know, the main difference is possibly the appearance or the time frame of it, and then really the canvas, the set. What, you know, do you do it to a guitar or do you do it to electronic drums?
Yeah, absolutely.
And when I started rapping live in front of people, I didn't have a band and I didn't have any money for anything like that, so I had learned how to play, taught myself how to play the guitar, and so I would go to open mic nights and songwriter contests, and I would just get up there with my guitar, and then I would rap to that, and that really caught people. It was kind of unconventional, you know, but it stood out, and people remembered it. So
absolutely, because it is so memorable. It's just because it's so different, especially with a more of a country melody or a country lyric.
Absolutely.
And that changes the dynamic altogether. But you got a huge social media following, 182,000 plus on Facebook, 250K on YouTube, big Braves and Bulldogs fan.
Oh, yeah.
Demon Jones, welcome to Braves Country.
I'm glad to be here.
Man.
Thank you.
We're glad to have you here, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, Demon Jones, would you define what hick hop is? And who coined that phrase?
Okay. That's an interesting question, and most people don't know that. And the reason I do know that is because I'm not crazy about that term.
Okay.
It's almost like it's thrown out. In the beginning, I feel like that term was kind of put out there to demean the genre, as if not to take it seriously. Like,
interesting.
You know, like the word hick is almost, you know,
it is a slight.
You know, it's a slight. You know, people that are not from the South or not from rural areas use it to describe people that are.
Yeah.
So the Wall Street Journal did an article, and I don't remember the year, but it was kind of the first mainstream media outlet to address the genre of country rap, and an editor from New York came up with hick hop. So nobody within the genre. Now, some people have kind of ran with it and embraced it, and really, I don't care what you call it. You know what I mean? If you enjoy the music, I don't care what it's called.
Well, you just said country rap. I like
country
that.
Country rap is what I always feel like it was, because that's what it is. You know, if you know, they call things Southern hip hop or West Coast rap or gangster rap or whatever, and it's just it's country rap. It's basically, you know, the rap textures of the music with the country lyrics and the country, you know, experience basically presented in the form of hip hop music.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it's great. And today's a unique day for you. Not only do you have your family here at the Battery at Truist Park, but today's your birthday, man.
Yes, man.
Happy birthday.
45.
45. Is that what we are? So I'm 44. I'll be 45 in January. So
you're not going to catch me.
I'm telling you, I'm going to do my best.
Years older, but you guys are catching up.
But it happens fast. I feel like I was just turning 30, and then you blink, and you know, every year it really seems to pick up, and with this COVID thing, I feel like, you know, 2 years just said zip.
Because we missed it. We literally missed 2 years. And look, there's in my view, there's a lot of politics behind it that drive me up the wall, because I feel like we've gone the wrong direction in many cases with all this. But that is a different,
I agree
a
with you
day,
on that. I don't believe our leaders led us in the right direction, and I think that can. You
that
can
continues,
that's a wormhole.
Like.
We can go down that, yeah. and I think all of us would have a story to tell.
Yeah, no kidding, man. But how cool is it to be with your family at the ballpark and being a Braves fan, sweet girls over there, and I just love families. I love country. I love country people. I'm born and raised in Georgia. This is what
right.
that's, you're talking about relatability.
Right.
Bringing your family to the ballpark ain't much more relatable to me than
and
that.
And it's your first time at Truist Park.
It is my. I was at Fulton County as a kid, yeah. and then I went to Turner Field, and this is my first time at this park, and
that's
this
cool.
is their first Braves game. I mean, we watch many of them on TV and scream at the TV,
yeah.
but this is going to be their first time in the stands. And I felt like, you know, we'll keep him out of school one day. And it just happened to line up with Scott came to
perfect.
Me. I'm like, hey, man, I'm coming up there.
That's perfect.
He's like, hey, let's do it.
Yeah.
September 28th.
Yeah, Tug, we met at LACFest down in Blackshear,
right.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
I was down
I remember
there
when
being
you're
the
there.
Stage
you're...
manager. And my buddy D-Rock from 92.5 The Bear, he kept telling me, you got to see this guy, Demon Jones, and he's going to be at LACFest. And he was 100% right. I was blown away by your amazing lyric performance, of course. Like
you
really had a dynamic show, and you were all over the place, taking the audience from highs to lows, and just really doing a great job.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that.
But then the thing that was different between you and the other country rap artists was that instead of coming up and handing me a computer or their phone with tracks on it and singing over it, you had a hell of a live drummer and a great live guitar player.
Oh yeah, they're killers.
This drummer, Tug, was like, I mean, he reminded me of Dave Grohl. I mean, he was so good, and it was and you guys really brought it, man.
And that's my little cousin. I mean, I say little. He's
big. Tell us about those guys.
Well, Austin Kress is my drummer, and he's been playing with me more on than off for about probably three years. But with I don't know. I've kind of lost track of time here, so I don't know how long they've been playing with me anymore.
Time seems to evaporate lately.
Yeah, it's been a few years, and I mean, this guy's been a drummer his whole life. I think he started playing drums when he was 3 or 4 years old.
Good Lord.
So even though he's my cousin and I love him, he's not in my band because he's my cousin. He's in my band because
he's freaking good.
Because he reminds you of David Grohl.
Exactly. Yeah, it's understandable.
Yeah, because I've been around music, the majority of my life, and I can tell if somebody's got it. And he goes home and plays the drums when we're not on the road, and that's a drummer. You
that's
know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
playing drums today for sure.
Right. Like a ball player goes home and hits baseballs off a tee.
That's right. And my guitar player, he played with Rehab for a year and a half, Dole Williams. He's also from Jones County, but he just started playing. That's like the second or third week he was with me, was at the LACFest. I used to have a violinist, a fiddle player, and he moved on, and so I hired Dole. And so Dole's still finding his way, but he's an animal, a total animal at playing the guitar, and that's what his life's been about. You know, he started playing when he was 12 or 13. And, he told me that in high school he played for 8 hours a day through middle school and high school.
Well, it's a great team. It's a great team. It was high energy, Tug. You got to see the show.
Dude, I would love it.
Demon Jones is on fire live. And much like the Braves, I mean, you're a Braves and Dogs fan. And what's it feel like to be up here on the Braves Radio Network with us after all these years?
It's humbling. It's really exciting. You know, I'm excited to have my kids here with me. It makes me look really cool to be in here.
That's right.
And to walk them through the big Braves doors, with bats on it.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
And then y'all get to ask me questions. It makes me look important. So.
Yeah, well, you are. What are you talking about? You're leading a family. You're leading those lovely young ladies over
there,
man. That's an important job. That's the most important job.
You know, one of the real important thing I've passed on to them, though, is what my mother instilled in us was a love for the Braves.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from the era when, Channel 17.
That's right, Superstation.
I remember Claudel Washington, Jerry Roster, Al Robosky, Chris Chambliss, Glenn Hubbard. Dale Murphy was my hero as a kid.
Too.
I thought he was He-Man.
Yeah, me too.
I can't believe he's not in the Hall of Fame, but I don't know if that's just because I loved him as a kid or if the numbers don't say that he should be there. I can't wrap my head around that.
I think back-to-back MVPs and what he did for baseball, it's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Stats.
And we're America's team, right?
Who's more famous than Dale Murphy? I mean,
he made
baseball on TV work in the 80s.
Exactly
so
right.
I think he should be in there.
Yeah, well, I love him, man. I really do. And, it's funny. I heard I heard the podcast that Adam Blank was on, and he told that story, and man, I almost cried.
Yeah.
You know, when he said how he met Dale Murphy, because I can, you know, as a young boy, now as a grown man, I can only imagine if one of your heroes was to walk up behind you and tap you on the shoulder.
Yeah. There's just nothing like
it. I mean, that would just blow me away, you know?
No, and I got to see it once, because my kid, much like Dale Murphy was to you and I growing up, my son was Chipper Jones, right? And he caught the tail end of Chipper's career when it was all just at its fever pitch, you know, and everybody loved him.
First ballot, you knew he was going to go.
Exactly, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And to get to see my son Jacob meet Chipper Jones was one of those moments, and you're just like, oh my gosh, that's what you live for, to have that experience for your kid. And and you, just by them, living vicariously through them, living through their eyes, is amazing.
Well, they're really excited about it, too. They scream at the TV.
Good.
You know, when there's a walk-off hit, our neighbors, they don't live close,
they
hear us for sure. Yeah.
That's right.
They raise hell. We raise hell.
Yeah. That's right. Cheer on the Braves.
Yes.
Dude, I love it. I think it's so terrific. So, do you want to introduce your daughter? Is that all right? Or?
Yes. This is my soon-to-be 11-year-old daughter, Lyric. You want to say hello, Lyric?
Yes. Come on, Lyric.
Hello.
What a beautiful name. Hi, Lyric.
Hello.
Who's your favorite player?
Acuna Jr.
Ronald Acuna Jr. It's been a tough year without him, but they've done really well, surprisingly, without him. And your name is?
This is?
Jessica.
My 12-year-old. Who's your favorite player?
Acuna Jr.
Of course.
Acuna's winners.
We've got the Ronald Acuna Jr. fan club.
I'm telling you, right? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, it was a tragedy. When he got hurt in our house, it was a tragedy. And then when I was on the road when it happened, and when I saw the video of it, man, I have to admit, dude, it hurt my feelings really bad for him.
Yeah.
You know
he's a good kid. I mean, you can see it.
Man, you can just tell he plays like every kid feels like they're playing when they're 13 years old. You know what I mean? Like, he's just going all out. Even that play that he got hurt on, I mean, most people would not even try to, you know, it's almost like he was trying to dunk from the free throw line and catch a pop fly at the same time, you know. And most people would have just played it off the wall, but he doesn't know how to.
That's right.
He's a go-getter.
It'll be interesting to see if he comes back with that same intensity, or if somebody coaches him to kind of rein it in.
I don't think you can take that out. I think that's inherent. That's just who you are.
Well, you know, if you, and I'm sure y'all are not as knowledgeable as I am or beyond. But if you watch his discipline at the plate, how much it's changed in his first couple of years.
Sure.
I think that maybe he'll be able to. I think maybe he will adjust his approach to some of those situations. But at the same time, I mean, he's super fast. He's got one of the strongest arms, if not the strongest arm from the outfield. I don't see you taking all the fire out of him, but I think he might.
You can tailor it a little bit.
He might play the next one off the wall.
Yeah, like maybe so, but I don't know. It's in those moments where there's not time to think about it. You just react, and you are what you know. You are what you are, and you react.
Yeah, that's where
that
the
way.
Talent takes
that's
over.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he reminds me. Well, not him, but that play. It reminds me of Rondale White. Rondale White graduated from Jones County High School, who graduated with my oldest brother, and who was a great friend of mine, and still is a good friend of mine. He was every five-tool player, I think you call it. I mean, comparing him to Andre Dawson.
Wow.
I think he was leading the league in RBIs and homers the year of the strike. I mean, this guy was – but he ended up getting hurt several times, and usually it was diving into the fence sideways and breaking his collarbone or something like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not what we're – looking into with Acuna, because I think he's got so much to offer the game.
Let's switch gears and talk about them dogs.
Yeah, let's do it.
Man, I'm telling you what.
I'm excited about it this year.
Goodness gracious. Is it okay to say, is this the year? Because
I see them losing. I'm sorry.
It certainly feels that way. I don't know who they're going to lose to. If you look at Alabama is going to be okay, but I feel like Georgia has the edge on them this year. I just don't see anybody in college football stopping them.
Their defense is so ridiculous. When you watch the Clemson game, when I watched it, it was the first game of the year, of course. So I guess at first it seemed like, wow, it's kind of a boring game. But then once it was over and I looked back at some of the highlights, no, it's not boring. Our defense is just destroying them.
We just made them look foolish almost.
It looked like, like
three
a
three rushing yards or something.
It was awful. Yeah. But I think they, you know, the Daniels coming back, I think really just put them over the top, man. And they got a lot of talent, a lot of talented receivers. talented quarterback who's experienced. He's not going to, I don't think he's going to get shook in the moment. So I don't think he's going to shrink down from the occasion, you know, whether it's Florida or Alabama or whatever.
You know, what's interesting about him is this is really the first year that he's ever had just a full year to play since he's been, you know, he came out of high school early enroll at USC and missed his whole senior year.
Right.
He was playing college football when he should have been a senior in high school.
Right.
So, and then, you know, he got hurt and then the off year and then the COVID year. There's just a whole bunch of crazy that's been going on. And so this is kind of the first year that he's ever had just some consistency. And you see it, man, in the game against Vanderbilt. He was 9 for 10. And the pass that was incomplete hit Robinson in the hands. I mean, the worst place, right? Right in his hands.
He's
and
accurate.
So it wasn't even his fault that there was a drop. And then he followed that drop with two touchdowns. So he's been lights out.
Well, I tell you, we've been so close a few times, and I don't want to jinx us,
but it's hard
to look at what's going on and not be like, oh, okay.
The schedule, we got a shot. The schedule alone, and then just comes down to that, what I call the national championship game, the SEC championship game.
that's what it is.
That's
definitely the best two teams in the country.
Yeah, that's all we got to get through. Maybe we can convince Alabama to let us have one.
Nick Saban is Mr. Miyagi, man. It's hard to hate on that guy, man.
It's not
luck, and he's not cheating. He's amazing,
that's exactly what it is.
And I like Kirby Smart, but would Kirby Smart be Kirby Smart without Nick Saban?
I would think not. Absolutely. Give credit where credit's due, right?
Yeah. At some point, I think definitely Kirby Smart's going to bring a few to Athens, and I think this might be the year, man.
I'm certainly hoping so. It looks good so far. On a more serious topic, because we talked about family, talked about all the things that we all love. How are you going about raising your kids in this crazy, crazy world? Because as I mentioned, I have a 17-year-old son, and I feel like I'm talking to him about something serious every day.
You know, at first, I have to admit, at first, I couldn't really wrap my head around what was going on. You know, the world was changed so rapidly. You know, and I didn't get the feeling no matter who was on TV saying what this and that was. I didn't have a lot of trust in what I was hearing.
Hear.
And I haven't gone through anything, that's relative to this in my life. And so for them to be living through it, I know that they're not quite aware, really, like in the scope. You know, maybe later on when they look back, they'll, you know, maybe understand.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping that at some point that we will get back to some normality, and then they will, I guess, have something to compare it to. You know what I mean? Because, it's almost 2 years. I mean, they were 9 and 10 when this thing started. Now they were 8 and 10, and now they're 10 and 12. And, you know, in those years, if this goes on for 2 or 3 more years, I mean, that will be half of their life, basically, that we've been under these weird restrictions where you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't wear this, you can't go eat here, you can't go to that concert unless you do this and take this.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, really, I'm taking it a day at the time.
Man, you
know, because some schools are, you know, you have to wear a mask. This school, you don't have to wear a mask. There's no cases at the school. There's 4 cases at this school. They shut the whole grade down. It's like, and then it'd be, you know, 4 different schools within 2 counties, and all 4 of them are doing 4 different, totally different things.
Right.
And I don't think it's based on reality. I think it's based on the preferences of a small number
small
of people,
group of people
and not on what the parents want for their children.
Which I think is the most important.
That is the only opinion I think that should matter. Is what the parents in that area want. You know, like in Jones County, where I'm from, I think they should have an emergency a vote or something. And, you know, everybody that pays property taxes in the county or has a child, you know, every resident of Jones County should vote on this. What are we going to do? And then that should be it.
Yeah,
you know?
I think you're right.
It's going to come down to the county level. You're right. I mean, each county does have to run their own game.
Right.
Know? And you're right about that. I mean, but don't you think every generation goes through some struggle that we have to deal with, and you have to have that foundational kind of moral compass to get through some of this stuff no matter what?
I think so. But, which is not great. You know, and I don't think there are, you know, each generation has an equal challenge, because I mean, September 11th was heartbreaking, devastating. And some of the things and the wars and stuff that came from that was kind of, I guess, my generations and things that spawned off of that. But I don't know that even that is comparable to this.
You know what I mean?
I mean, this is something that we can't, there's been nothing like this. And it's not something that's in America or in Australia. Whenever in history, if you all can recall, has the entire world been going through the same tragedy with different, extremely different approaches to fixing it? And I mean, I have my opinions about the where it came from, like we all do.
Yeah, I think we probably would agree on probably that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think it fell out of the sky. You know, and if it did, I think somebody dropped it out of the sky.
You and I both.
And I don't trust it. And I think that I'd like to be talking about that more. And finding out how it happened, and if someone is responsible, how do we hold them responsible, what we're going to do about it? Because if it's going to be ugly, I would rather it be ugly now.
Right.
So that perhaps when my children are my age, it won't be ugly.
They don't have to be.
Because I'd rather go on and get with it if that's what it's going to be. You know what I mean?
Rip it off like a band-aid.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but hey, if that's what it calls for, I mean, that's why we all got big shoulders and big hands is because we're supposed to go kill the bear and drag it home, right?
That's right. No, but the thing that drives me up the wall is that I feel like that kids right now, it can't even be kids. You know, they're missing out on so many opportunities, whether it's ball season. Like, you think about the seniors in high school that didn't get to play their last year of baseball.
That
or football
made me
or
sick. Like, how many kids are one season away from the full ride at UGA? Yeah. How many kids are like, you know, two or three more pitching starts in front of this scout before they're the first draft pick for the Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah.
How many, you know, like, and then no prom, no senior trip, no senior basketball season, no senior baseball season. The damage that causes, is that not, I mean, if you look at the hard numbers, and I'm not a scientist, but you can look up the numbers just like anybody else can, the CDC and several other sources, and there is not a widespread devastating.
No, it's 0.3%.
Of children and school-age children.
I think it's even less.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And school-age children, it's even less. And if you're my age or younger, and if you're healthy, thank you, God, that I am, there's almost, you know, it can happen. And I know people that have passed away, and that is their cause of death.
Yeah.
So personally.
Yeah. Sure.
And so I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is they're making decisions that's not based on reality. It's based on their personal preferences or political leanings and stuff like that. And it's affecting kids' lives. And some of those kids, what is that going to do to that star pitcher that trained all year, that knew that he was one season away from proving himself to be in that?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember parts of my life where I made changes to try to accomplish something.
Absolutely.
And if I had done all that work and then my opportunity was taken from me, I don't know what would happen.
It's
so
frustrating. That's you talked about God a minute ago, and that's where I think we have to put our faith is right there in him. And you've written about that, your song God's Work with your friend Upchurch. It ends with the lyrics, "It might be time for a conversation so we can work out our differences and understand each other so we can love each other like God intends us to." Then Backyard Lullaby, you talk about sending up prayers and needing answers. And, you know, those are messages that I relate to, man. That's what I grew up with. You know, I grew up on country and Southern gospel. And those type lyrics, man, that strikes a chord because that's real for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. In my experience as a father and a husband and just a man, period, I don't know how you could go through life and the challenges it presents. No matter what your income bracket or your race or wherever you live or whatever, there's going to be challenges that come to you that when you're sitting there facing them, you don't really know how you're going to get through it. You just have to just focus on the moment and pray about it and do what you can do right this moment. And then if you just keep doing it, the right thing right this moment, you get through it and you get to the other side. And then you turn around and look, you're like, wow, I got through that. So I know I can get through it the next time.
Yeah.
So then you start to build faith and move in that. You know, you start trust, really.
Absolutely. And to kind of piggyback that and the fact that I think it strikes a chord with not only me but others, and this song's got 20 million listens on YouTube, and that's That's a big number, man. 20 million?
Yeah, it's a good bit more than that if they factor in all the other platforms. I just got a report on it the other day. I think it's got to be 75 million collective streams to get. So it's going to be a gold record.
It'll get there. Yeah,
it's probably like a year away, you know. But the that many people reacted to it, and I'll tell you, when I made the song, I didn't think much of it.
Really?
Well, I wrote it and recorded it, and then when they went back in and finished the music, they did some stuff that I wasn't used to. Mm-hmm. So I actually made that song to go on my first album in 2014, and I thought so little of it that I didn't even put it on the album. And my wife and my kids were much younger. They were like, "That's the one, Daddy." And I'm like, "Nah, I don't know."
I was loving the video, and I noticed there was some kids in the video.
These are the stars of the video.
That's the superstars.
Wow. Seriously, rock stars in here today with us. Goodness gracious, though. But I think it's awesome, and I think it's so relatable. And Scott and I talk about this all the time. There's just, you know, when you grow up in Georgia, or at least it's been my experience, you know, it's God and family and then the Braves and the Bulldogs.
I'm with you.
Those are the things that I love more than anything else.
I'm with you right there, man.
Yeah, but living in the South, man, what does it mean to you? Because it means everything to me, just being Southern. Like, that means something to me. And I don't know that people that weren't born here, raised here, maybe they don't get it as much as, like, say, you and I do.
Well, you know, I have a response to that. It's pretty in-depth because growing up in Jones County, I guess it was a common theme that everybody thought when we get out of school, we can't wait to get away from Jones County.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's in everybody's business, you know, and this was before Facebook was the thing.
Right. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.
Growing up in Jones County, I guess it was a common theme that everybody thought when we get out of school, we can't wait to get away from Jones County.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's in everybody's business, you know, and this was before Facebook was the thing.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So then I got out of Jones County a bit, and then I couldn't wait to get back.
I did the same thing.
I wouldn't live. I mean, I guess maybe I would if a couple more of my songs blow up. Maybe I would have a house somewhere else.
Well, you're going to have to tour, but you need to come home.
Yeah. But, yeah, I can't. My favorite thing I do on a tour is go home.
Yeah.
I love the shows. I love the people. Yeah. But at the end, when I get to go home, is definitely the favorite moment of it. When it's all done, everybody's safe, we did our thing, we fulfilled our obligations, and now I get to go back.
There's nothing better, man.
I never really understood that phrase, you know, kiss the ground when you get off the airplane, until I toured the world a lot. And I loved going to Europe and Australia and all these places. It was fantastic to see all that. And I have great friends over there, and I love it. It's great. But there's something different about the land of the free. And you get here, and you see
it's
all
different, man.
They may be free in some of those spots, but they're not totally
questionable
free.
These days.
You can't say what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't. You know, the freedom of speech. I'm pretty sure it's unique.
Yeah, that's the First Amendment.
You know what I mean? Freedom of speech, and I mean, and people, and I've even been to Canada once or a couple times, and They don't have that. You can't publicly against the government.
Yeah, they will shut you
down. I can tell you right now that I think Biden sucks. Awful. Right. He couldn't suck worse.
Yeah, right.
He couldn't suck worse.
Yeah. And
no one's going to do nothing about it.
No.
Right. And they might say something. They might jab me on Facebook or whatever, but you can't come to my house. You can't charge me with a crime because of my opinion.
Yeah, that's
And
exactly
in these
right.
other countries, you can.
Yeah,
they can shut your business down.
Yeah, there's countries where the producer would be rushing in right now to stop this whole thing.
Yeah, that's right. And people don't understand that. And if it ever, God bless us, I hope that it never gets close to that. But in some places in our country, it's getting close to that.
Yeah, it does feel
Well, you
that
can't
way.
Say what you think.
No,
you know?
Absolutely.
Unless you agree with whoever owns the building.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't walk in the building.
Like there on the left coast, things get off track all the time, man. Yeah, but much like you're saying, when I was in the Navy, I never changed my driver's license or my car tag or my insurance. It always stayed in Georgia. Even when I was stationed in Florida, where there's no income tax, I was like, I'll just pay my Georgia taxes. I ain't changing none of it. Because that's where I knew as soon as I was done, that's exactly where I was headed, right back home.
Right.
So I'm so there with you. But, man, you grew up on some Zeppelin. You grew up on AC/DC with your brothers. Your mom gave you Marvin Gaye and James Brown, Michael Jackson. Your uncles, the Almonds and Skynyrd. And you found NWA and rap on your own. So how does all that come together in the head of Demon Jones?
Well, do y'all remember the breakdancing movies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Breaking Two.
Electric Boogaloo, Beat Street.
Let's go.
And Turbo and Ozone.
Yeah,
right. The two guys dancing.
Yeah.
So I was... instead of playing Marco Polo in the pool, I've taught my kids to play Turbo, Ozone,
I love it.
So the dancing was what grabbed me and pulled me into music. I was always surrounded by music. I didn't realize that I was musical at the time. I thought that was something that people on TV did, you know. But then when I saw the breakdancing stuff, when I was very small, shortly after learning to walk, I remember seeing that and I was so drawn to it. And then I guess I heard of Ice-T and stuff like that, but the authentic hip hop stuff that would end up becoming mainstream was not a thing yet. It was that kind of culture was really in the urban populated areas. But I guess it kind of leaked down into areas like Jones County and anywhere else in any small town. And
did you throw a little cardboard down every once in a while?
Oh yeah, I did. Like, I mean, I was in the talent show in fourth grade in the library, just breakdancing in front of a room full of people, and they're like, "What are these kids doing?" So that's how music pulled me in through the dance, and then when I started hearing stuff like the Beastie Boys, N.W.A. and I wasn't supposed to hear N.W.A.
Right, of course.
Was riding with an older kid, and they were playing, and I was like, "What is this?
This is new."
Well, it really spoke to me, and I was like, "Well, wow! I can't sing like Michael Jackson or Lionel Richie,
right?" But I can't
play the guitar like Jimi Hendrix, but I think I can do this.
I can string these words together.
Well, and then I did. I started writing when I was a young teenager, played maybe 14 or 15. And at first I would just write things that kind of just sounded like the music that I liked. But then it took me some living, I guess, and learning and losing and all that and mistakes to have something to talk about. And it took, I would say a half a lifetime to almost get to where, okay, now I can take my own experiences and chisel them into this, and it'd be my thing, and not something that I made to sound like the Fat Boys or Ice Cube or something like that, or LL Cool J, who was also one of my early heroes.
Sure.
When Mama Said Knock You Out
Bad
and all that. I love that stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
It made me want to fight,
Right. Hey, I never wanted to fight because I knew I'd get beat up.
Well, I had brothers, bro. We were
You're
brawling.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
So, I was still losing, but we were fighting.
Awesome. Yeah, man, it's funny because I remember listening to In the Back of My Buddies. Yeah. But going back to Beastie Boys, I remember License to Ill and my buddy Jeremy Klein, we grew up together in Dalton. He went in the Marine Corps, I went in the Navy, and I think he lives out in Seattle somewhere nowadays. But I remember in the back of his grandmother's car, she would be taking us to McDonald's to get Happy Meals, and he was like, put this in. And sure enough, she would. She didn't think anything of it, man. We were going down the road, you know, fight for your right to
Brass
party.
Monkey.
And Brass Monkey.
Brass
and
Monkey
and Paul Revere and, you know.
That funky
yeah, exactly.
Monkey.
And so it was now looking back, I think it's so strange to listen to think about listening to that record with her.
because
it was, you know, it was out there for the time.
Well, you know, and I still get a lot of comments. There's a lot of people that they'll send me messages, and I just got one last night, and I don't try to get caught up in them because it's a wormhole. You know what I mean?
Like, but, social media altogether.
But I do try to engage with folks and let them know that I'm grateful that they're listening to my music. And this guy sent me a message, and he was like, look, man, I'm still trying to get it in my mind where country and rap
come together.
It's something. He said, but I just want to tell you, I really enjoy what you're saying. I'm just trying to to figure out a way to get down with the rap.
I appreciate that.
To me, I mean, I've written country songs and I've written rap songs. Rap songs are way harder. Let me just say that.
Really?
Many more words. Mm. You know, if you look at look at one of Chris Stapleton's hit songs, front to back on a piece of paper. It will all fit on the front of that paper.
Yeah, right.
And most rap songs, I mean, now they're getting to where they're all 3 minutes or shorter.
Sure.
But the amount of words normally in a rap song, you know, that Biggie or Tupac would do, it would be 3 16-bar verses.
Yeah.
And you know, one of their verses would be as long as any Dolly Parton song.
Yeah,
you know
like
what I mean?
Book.
It's just a... There's a lot more opportunity in a rap song to say stuff. You know what I mean? You can say a whole lot in a rap song. And it's hard to follow sometimes. But I had a knack for it pretty quick, you know, as far as putting words together and kind of painting pictures with it. And I just stuck with it, man. And I'm really grateful because I'm not saying I'm a late bloomer, but I spent several years of my young adulthood as kind of, you know, making mistakes and not doing the right things, you know, not doing the right things. And as soon as I, changed my life and I started living, trying to be a productive member of society and have God at the center of my universe instead of selfishness and
worldly things.
Just worldly, materialistic, look at me, like, and that. You know, as soon as I did that, things started to work, and it's been a gradual increase since. And I'm blessed, and my family's blessed, and man, I don't know what else to.
If people take away anything out of this entire conversation, I hope it's that. You know what I mean? I hope that's the one thing that they take away from it, just learning about you or hearing you say that, because it's so true, man. The things that matter are over there on that couch, you know.
For sure.
And the things that matter are minor and Alpharetta.
Yeah.
And those things are timeless. That
and
never
when you
goes
start
away.
Living for that, when you start living for something that's outside of yourself, you know what I mean? And you're trying to do the right thing and the universe, God knows what's in your heart. And when you truly want to live and fulfill things and reflect God's love onto who you come in contact with and the programs or whatever it is that we all choose to do to help the world. When that truly becomes not just what you're saying on Facebook, but when that becomes what's in your heart and what you really aim to do, I think that things will start to snap into place. And it's all in different times. It's not always right when you want
of course not. No.
But if you have patience and faith.
Time.
Yeah, that's right.
That's in his time.
We're talking to Demon Jones on Braves Country Podcast today, and thanks again for coming in, man. And I wanted to know if you would just walk us through what it was like making your latest record, Southern Sun.
Well, that was a unique experience. Normally, I'll take a couple of trips, or one or two trips to Nashville, and there's a few different producers that I'll pick from, and I'll just go stay at their house or at a hotel by their house, and I'll just go in for 4 or 5 days and make 10 or 12 songs and go home, and then that'll be the record. This time I went to, it's something I've always wanted to do, but now I can finally afford it, so I rented a house in Destin, and luckily a friend of mine owned it, so I didn't have to pay as much as a stranger. So a really nice house in Destin, and I brought in 3 or 4 guys that I really, really value and respect creatively, and we sat there, and I sat there for 17 days, and I made 15 or 20 songs, and that's what Southern Sun album is, and I'm real proud of it. You know, as I've gotten further into the music business, I've opened myself more up to be to receive input and like somebody's background singing or somebody helping me write a chorus or playing the guitar this way instead of that way. Like I've become much more open minded, and I feel like Southern Sun is I feel like it's my best work for sure. And I just released a video called Take Me Away, and produced by Thomas Toner. Brandon Hart is a great artist who's singing backgrounds on it. So just when you're in the studio and you're surrounded with like all these gifted singers and writers, and you say, you know, you write the line, and somebody says, well, why don't you say it like this? And so they make you question yourself.
Right.
And so instead of writing the line the way I wrote it first, yeah. I'll listen to them and see what their input is, and then I'll change it to something else.
Right.
And so every detail of the song is a sharpened down version of it would have been without them there.
I love that, though.
It sharpens me. It makes me better.
Sure does.
And it reminds me that I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing because I hold my own. And, you know, there's nobody in there writing my whole song.
Yeah, they're just
in there being an inspiration and a sounding board.
Broadening the horizons a little bit.
That's right.
Demon, Take Me Away, like you mentioned, your new single, and the video is amazing. It's only been out for 4 days at the time of this recording, and it has over 55,000 views already on YouTube.
Right.
And that's an amazing accomplishment in its own right. And then some of the lyrics in the song about I got my headphones on and a basket of crickets, that's only relatable if you're Southern, probably. trying to get away from the worries. Don't inbox me, other folks' business, like who broke up with who and what somebody said, and yeah. It's like
that
somebody's
sounds like Facebook to me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I wonder if you know, you're like, and then I love this one line. It's like somebody's got a remote to my channels and keeps on switching them. Getting away from technology and the constant information sharing, how important is that for you to get out there and go fishing?
Well, I don't do it nearly enough, you know, and I guess that was the inspiration for the song. And I started writing it. Of course, we were in the middle of everything that's going on, and nobody knows or knew how long this thing's going to go on. So even when I wrote it, I didn't realize how valid it would be 7-8 months later when the video came out. But you know, for a while, the first few months, I sat at home, like I would say a lot of people, and I watched the news, you know, to see what's going on. Worst thing to do. So it's just like, wow. So I just for a moment somewhere in there, I realized I don't really have control of mm-hmm. how I feel right now or what my train of thought is today. It's all based on what I'm being fed through this device, which I already knew that before this, you know.
Yeah.
But because I guess of the severity of the media rollout of the situation and the severity of the story, the headlines, I was really lassoed by it and pulled in. And I don't nearly, you know, I feel like everybody needs to unplug and get away. And really, that's a goal of mine, to do more of that. And it's really difficult. You know, it's really difficult to get to where no one can call you, no one can inbox you. But there's a great value in it as well.
Well, that's because we're so connected. Your watch tells you somebody's
calling, or that
a text has come in, or that somebody's commented on Twitter or whatever. It's just it's tough to disconnect. And in our family, when we all eat dinner, we try to eat dinner together multiple times during the week. And look, that's if there's a benefit of all this craziness that we've gone through, it's that we started that. We were trying to do it before, but we could never nail it down. And now we've done it and we've stuck with it. And nobody brings their phone to the table. And we say a prayer together before we eat, and we try to do that multiple times. So if there's any benefit, if there's a silver lining
to
the craziness, that's it for my family.
Yeah, that was one of the hidden blessings in this as well, as all the time I got to spend at home. Like I lost, as far as shows, I don't even know what the financial impact is.
Don't add it up.
It's incalculable.
Yeah.
You know? But that's okay. You know what I mean?
No,
I'm okay.
But it doesn't change the fact that it happened.
That's right. But the fact that for at first I was like, wow, in a selfish, you know, my mind saying, wow, this is happening to you. And then the reality is, no, this is happening to everyone now. It's not, you know what I mean? So it's like I got over that part of it pretty quick.
Yeah.
But the months of the year where I would normally be on the road, you know, I usually do one or two 30 to 40 day tours a year, you know, and then I do weekends, two and 3 day runs in between that. So I went now working on the second year where I'm not going to have any of those 30 or 40 day trips, you know, I'm gonna have 3 and 4 day trips, but none of those. So I got to spend that at home with my family, with my kids, and I really, really got used to that. So even getting back into these 2 and 3 day runs with the lax that I'm doing, has been more challenging than normal because I want to do the music, but I never want to leave home. You
absolutely,
know?
Man. So that's where the treasures are, man.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
So I totally get it.
But conversely, using technology for good, I've noticed, it's hard not to notice, what an impact you're making with music videos. One thing I loved about your website is you have a list of all your records, and every song is linked in, and you can press on any song, and it goes right to the music video.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's brilliant. I really commend you for that.
Thank you.
And the videos are great. Tell us about the importance of making music videos. What does that mean to you, and why are you taking so much time and effort with that?
Well, in the world the way it is with technology and all these, you know, we're basically holding a handheld supercomputer.
Oh, no doubt.
And so now no you doubt. Can't just have a song. You got to have the visual.
The layers.
That's right. The visual portion, part of the presentation, is its own creation. You know what I mean? Like, to me, if you watch my Feeling Good video, I almost had the video in my mind and wrote the song to the video. And so when we went to shoot the video with B. Luce, who is an amazing videographer and director, and I ended up with exactly what I wanted. You know what I mean?
That's
I had
great.
A chandelier. I mean, to make this happen was a tall order, but I knew what kind of car I needed to go down the road. I knew I wanted the window down with my wife's hair blowing out of it, but it didn't show her face when it's talking about an angel. You know, like you never see her face. And then I knew I wanted I'm fishing on a boat, but the bobber is bobbing on beat with the music.
Right,
like
right,
I had all this lined up in my
I
head.
Love it.
So it's almost
visions.
Like its own song, you know?
Yeah.
And so I go far into it. And sometimes these directors, I mean, they're great. I work with Antonio Pantoja, Drake McGuire, B. Luce. I used to work with him. Who's the other guy? I worked with Adam Harper and directed by Ghost from Florida. And I think that's.
I mean, these are really descriptive narrative type videos. They're not just it's not just
because
you
a lot of times it is. Yeah, a lot of times it's.
I mean,
just,
the backyard one is, but.
The song and the video don't match whatsoever.
Right.
Yeah. And that's always.
And I've done that as well, too. And I've done it on purpose before.
Yeah.
But I do try to give the song the pictures that it puts in my mind. And I feel like the reason I'm seeing that is because that's what the video is supposed to look like. So I go through great, great effort to make them. And it gets overlooked a good bit because people are, you know, attention spans are shorter. You know, instead of songs being 4 or 5 minutes on YouTube, if you look, now they're all 3 minutes or 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Or, you know, they're getting shorter. And that's why, because of the attention span. So a lot of the effort that we put into nailing down the perfect visual is missed. But I think when you, in the grand scheme of things, when people, it will always stand, I think, as a work of art. Like if, you know, The Long Way, I got a video, make sure you check that out, because the song didn't take off. It didn't take off. But I know for a fact that it's a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm.
I know the video is a masterpiece. So whether the song takes off or if I make money off of it or mm-hmm. whatever, for that song, it doesn't matter. My song I did about my little sister Jessica that passed away, I know it's a masterpiece.
Right.
But it's one of those that will probably make you cry and you don't want to watch it again.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
See,
I honored my little sister the way I wanted to, and it is perfect, you know?
I love music that pulls emotion, though. Those are the songs that I go back and listen to again.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times that's the case, but sometimes,
no,
you know, when somebody watches a video and it yanks their...
I
get all, as soon as I put out the video, people are messaging me like, bro.
Dying, son.
Yeah,
Why'd you do that? I wasn't trying to cry today.
Yes,
you know?
Seriously, I'm over here trying to clean up. I'm at work. What do you want me to do?
But I couldn't help it. You know, the song really wrote itself. The video, it was obvious what the video was supposed to be, and that's what it was.
I'm telling you, man. There's those songs that I love. Whether it's going to make me snicker or it's going to make me cry or it's going to make me mad.
Yeah,
I love music that pulls that emotion out, because I don't know about you, but when I'm whatever mood I feel like, I usually use music to help me in that moment, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, if I'm upset, I'll listen to sad songs and I'll get it out.
Well, that's what the blues is for, right?
That's
there,
right. Absolutely. Know? No. And so I think that's.
And
that's
I really
terrific.
Think that's why music was created.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
I think so.
Was to to either make you almost like medicine. You know what I mean?
It is.
And it is magic. Music is magic. But if you were to listen to most of my songs, most of them are not like that. Most of them, I try to be fun and loving and positive. And my main goal is really to just make people feel good about being alive, and maybe if they're going through something, maybe for a moment, either make them feel like they're not the only one that went through it, or either I'm not thinking about what I'm going through right now because I'm dancing or jamming to this Demon Jones song, you know?
And
that's really what, you know, my purpose is.
Another kind of emotional song for you, I know, is the I'm a Man on the Jones County record.
Oh, yeah. That's a killer.
It's a song for your father, Ricky, who's been a bricklayer for 50 years. Tell us all about Ricky and that song.
Let me see. 52. No, 57.
Jeez.
He's 69. He started when he was 12. He's had a checking account since he was 12 in the same place. And the only reason he started when he was 12 is because they wouldn't let him go to work when he was 8. So he told me stories how he would up under the porch at the farm where they lived, and he would make bricks out of mud, out of the red mud, and make bricks and play with them. And this guy, man, he's working right now. I don't know what he's working on. He is working right now.
Yeah, but it's funny. I lost my dad a couple of years ago. It's been the hardest thing I've ever lived through in my whole life, and I think about him every day. And songs like that. Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, that obviously is, you know, because you're talking about your father. But even with music that, like, if I hear a George Strait record, whoo, man.
Because that's your daddy's. That's your daddy's guy, right?
Exactly right, man. I listen to George Strait all the time, especially or Keith Whitley. Those are the two that'll come up, and let me tell you, no matter what I'm doing or thinking about, I hear those, my pops is on my mind immediately, if not sooner. It's one of those things that back to emotion. So sometimes when I'm driving down the road and I can't get my dad off my mind, I'll just listen to those songs and think about him every second until I get home, and then I've kind of come to a conclusion of that moment, and it won't happen until it happens again, and I can't tell you when that's going to happen. It's amazing. It's absolutely stunning. And I tell you, that has been one of those things where that changed me. You know, losing my dad changed me as a person. And I go back and I try to do the things that I should have done when he was around and listen to him. And I think about the things that he's told me. And I'll give you a quick example. When I was in the Navy, I met my now wife, and we were getting married, and she was moving because she's from New York and I'm from Northwest Georgia, and my dad stopped me probably a couple days before everything was coming down, and he said, I want you to think about this. You realize she's moving from New York. You got everybody here. She don't got a soul here. Unless you are serious about this, you cannot do this. Like, right. He stopped me days before she's supposed to move down.
Right.
And we're getting married, all of it. He was like, if you are not 100% committed to what you're doing, do not do it.
Yeah.
And
you're uprooting her.
It's exactly right. He's like, you are taking her from everything she knows, and if you aren't serious about this, you are going to change the course of her life.
Yeah.
And it was at the time, I'm like, I know I'm serious about it. I get, you know, but the more that I think about it, and now we've been married 20 years and have a 17-year-old son, the more I think about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, like that was a life-stopping moment that he was like, I've raised you to do the right thing, and I'm going to make sure that you know I expect you to do the right thing.
Right.
And that's what a great dad is, and that's what you'll do for your daughters and your wife.
Oh, absolutely. And I wasn't always that guy, you know, as an adult.
Neither was I.
You know what I mean? Like, but when it got time to be an adult, I had a great example of what a man is. And since we're on that topic, I want to say something about that because it's something I'm pretty passionate about. Because no matter where you look, people are always, especially politicians, they're talking about what the source of the problems are. And I feel like in society, the main source of our problems is the lack of fathers.
Amen.
In the home.
100%
because if
right.
there's not a man in the home, then the young man, doesn't know what he's supposed to become, and that's the right. young lady doesn't know what she's supposed to look for.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always had that. I knew what a mother, I knew what a wife and a mother was mm-hmm. from my mother, mm-hmm. and I knew what a man was and what a man was supposed to do. And that's what my daddy did. And yeah. so that's what I do, and that's what I will do, no matter yeah, what it is. You know,
exactly
if
right.
it's whatever the father is supposed to be there to protect and provide mm-hmm. and make sure that everyone is safe.
Right,
and I've never went in my life. I don't recall ever going to sleep wondering, "Where's Daddy?
Yeah,
are we going to have breakfast?
Am I okay?
Are our lights? Am I okay? Yeah. Are we safe?
Yeah,
are we getting kicked
never
out?
Once.
Like, no, I never experienced that,
that's
so
right.
I can empathize with you, and I'm not blaming nobody because.
No.
Because, you know, a lot of people in that situation, that's not what they want it to be.
No, of course.
But at some point, we're going to have to really take a hard look at that and address it. Because that is 'cause wherever daddies are in every house, you don't see – you're not going to find the police swarming around places where
because dad's
daddy's in every house.
That's,
you just don't see it.
That's exactly
because
right.
things are in order.
That's right.
And the fathers help keep it in order.
And it's so funny you bring that up, and this is another reason not to listen to celebrities and another reason that I never listen to anything a celebrity says. Jennifer Aniston, who is, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world, she's like, I don't need a man to have a baby. I'm like, you're exactly right. Physically, you don't need it, but it doesn't make it a good idea, you know? And you can go play in I-75 in rush hour traffic. I don't make it a good idea.
Yeah, you know what, man? Anything coming out of Hollywood, stuff like that. I think more than anything, she might have just wanted somebody to click on her name a bunch of times that day. And, right. man, I don't know that
probably
I'm
going
to – I don't know if I'm going to legitimize her with an opinion on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. No, but it's just – it was just –
how does she know?
Yeah, it's just to illustrate your point is that your point is so well taken, so correct, man.
Yeah.
What's the future hold? You got what are you recording? You mentioned the touring a little bit, and we want to invite everybody to visit your website. It's demonjones.com, demunjones.com, demonjones.com.
Yes. Currently, I'm on the Country Lit Tour with the Lax and Dusty Lee. Our next show is this Friday night in Chattanooga, actually.
Let's go. Right up near my hometown.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. It's not sold out yet. It's looking like it will be. A lot of them have. But with the things that are going on there, you know, some people are nervous and scared. It's impacted the attendance a bit in some places. Right now, since I just released the album, a lot of times after I'll do an album, I'll go into doing features for other people where I appear on other people's songs.
Oh, that's cool.
And I've got four or five of those out there in the world that will be coming out over the coming months. One with Adam Calhoun, Redneck Soldiers, artist named Gabby that's out of Nashville. And I got a stack of them. And I try to get to them. And people are like, hey, man, where's that verse you were going to do on this song? I'm like, I have to wait. Because for me, like, the creative juices – much of the time when I'm working alone, they don't just come because you need me to do the verse. It's like I'll go through a spell where I can do a verse or two verses every night in my studio in my basement, and then I'll go 2 or 3 months where I don't write a word to a song.
Really?
So right now I'm just really focusing on this tour, and my booking agent's getting next year situated, and that is a daunting task right
I
now
can't
to
imagine.
Plan a concert 6, 7, and 8 months from right now because you don't know what the future holds.
That's right.
And it's hard to plan around the different policies in the different states.
Yes.
So,
my gosh.
So his job is extra challenging right now.
No
bless
kidding.
His heart.
Yeah.
But
bless his heart. That's boy, you're a country right
understatement
there.
Understatement right there.
Bless
though.
His heart.
Yeah.
I love it.
But you just have to kind of proceed, don't you? You just
that's
have
right.
to keep on going and then roll with it as it comes up.
Yeah, that's right, man. And we got, you know, a lot of our shows are coming up. We got several of them in Florida. We got some all the way up in New York and Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Iowa City. I mean, they're basically all over the middle to eastern United States. And so I don't know what we're about to run into. I'm just going to take it one show, one weekend at a time. And if they have to give me a test to do a show, then I'll be cool. And then we're going to take the holiday off. My last show for the year is December 18th. And by then, I will announce what my first half of next year is going to look like.
Where's that December 18th show?
Oh, I have to look.
Okay.
You know what? I got it right here. It's on demonjones.com/tour.
Plus, you're going to have a music video for every song on Southern Sun that you'll release, right?
Well, I have seven of the 11 already shot. I think I still need one for Straw Hat, Country Made, Billie Jean, and My People. Amazing. And I know I got to do one for Straw Hat and My People for sure. Country Made and Billie Jean are, you know, people are receiving them well, but I'll kind of let it fill it out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because what you can do is sometimes if you put out too many videos too quick, you don't give it time to even kind of marinate in your fan base. And like I got 250,000 subscribers, and that's with all the weirdness that goes on, people getting unsubscribed all the time. It's like, you know, it took me 8 years to build that up. And so 250,000 people should get an email when I drop a video, but they don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? It'll be like 40,000.
And
then that's right. And so you have to keep posting about that for weeks to make sure that even the people that follow you on Facebook or follow you on Twitter and YouTube even see it. You have to do it different times of the day, different times of the week. And so my goal is to have a video for every song I do moving forward. I don't know that I'm going to plan on another album right now. I think it's so around the song. And there's been times where I made a song and then shot the video the next week and then put it out the next week, and they were wildly successful. So it's like, I kind of feel like I might want to get back into that, being more spontaneous and thinking about just the song I'm working on instead of thinking about 12 songs.
Yeah, and the video can do the touring for you in a way.
That's right. Depending on what we're doing. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely make a living without leaving my house. You know what I mean? Yeah. At this point with the streaming revenues and the video. But the live performance for me, I mean, you complimented me earlier, and I appreciate it, but the reason my show is that is because, to me, that is like where the needle hits the record.
Right,
like that's where...
That's what you do.
Are you really this, or do you just look like this on videos, or can you stand in front of me and do what you... And I can stand in front of you and do it.
You sure can.
I'm not I'm not faking it. You know what I mean? I'm really going to go out there, and I'm going to be injured almost when I come off stage.
Oh, boy. You know what I mean? He leaves it all on the field.
I leave it on the field. That's how I play.
But coming off injured, I don't want you coming off like Ronald Acuna style, banged up.
Well, no, it's just like, you know, if you run 10 miles in 60 minutes, I mean, it sucks.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. No doubt about it. All right, we got some antsy young ladies. They're ready to get out of here, and we don't want to keep them much longer.
We're keeping them from the chicken fingers?
They're
ready to go to the battery.
Well, I'm glad you brought up chicken fingers, because I was going to ask you what are the best other mom and pop restaurants across the Southeast, your favorite barbecue, what are your favorite places to eat?
Okay, easy. Favorite barbecue, Old Clinton Barbecue in Gray, Georgia.
Been there since the 50s.
Old Clinton Barbecue.
Yes. Gray, Georgia.
What's your standard order at Old Clinton Barbecue?
Well, since I've tried to cut back on bread, so I usually just get like a pound of pulled pork
with
their coleslaw. And I usually don't eat the whole thing, but now that I don't eat the bread with it, I do. I can eat the whole thing.
You're on a diet.
Are you a food mixer? Because you said...
Yes.
Because me too, because I like to mix my mashed potatoes and my corn. Last night, my wife made mashed potatoes, corn, and pork tenderloin.
My order is never on the menu.
Yeah.
What I end up getting is something that I took things. I'm like, hey, can you put queso on this and bacon dip? And like, right. On a ribeye? I'm like, yes. I'm
like, queso and bacon bits on my ribeye. Kind of like your music. You're mixing that hip-hop and that southern rock, but you got to do it on the plate, too.
Well, you know, before I started, you know, before my metabolism started slowing down, I was a dessert creator.
So anywhere
I could go, I could create desserts. I'd look at what the hell on their menu, and I'd be like, okay, well, bring me the lava cake with the ice cream and the cheesecake balls, and then we create something, you know?
I love it. I love that.
Y'all got
right
chocolate
there.
Syrup?
Yeah, seriously, bring that on, too. I'll have some of that as well.
Now, what about touring around Braves country? Are there any places you have to go on the road where you just have to stop?
Yes, off the Howell Mill Road exit.
That's right down the road.
Hancock Taqueria. Have y'all been there?
I have not.
Listen, Atlanta. Atlanta. It's on Call. Listen, I almost know the address.
That's
on Collier Road, Hancock Taqueria.
Okay.
I found it by accident. I was mastering a record for rehab 10 years ago, and Glenn Schick said, you should run out here and just pick up lunch. And I went down there, and they have shrimp tacos in there, fried shrimp tacos.
Yes, I will.
It will change your life.
Yeah,
they're spicy fries. They're garlic sesame fries with spicy ketchup, and you can inbox me my thank you letter on Facebook.
Seriously, I'll be expecting it.
You got to do it. Every time I go, I get 4 shrimp tacos.
That's living right there.
I'm never sorry.
Dude, I'm telling you. We appreciate your time, man. You have a beautiful family.
Continued
success.
Thank you so much.
God bless y'all. God be with you, man. And anytime you're at the park, man, you're always welcome. We'd love to have y'all. And
I'll be back tomorrow.
Come on, man. Come on. We'll find something to do. Ain't no doubt about it. But
good.
You know, and when we know, you know, when you have things going on, and we want to know about it, and we want to tell other folks about it, man.
Thank you very much.
We hope to have just a little bit of a hand in helping out in any way we can.
That's awesome. Chattanooga Friday night,
there you
y'all.
Go.
It's not far.
Up to Chattaboogie. Come on.
Look out. Tug and I are coming to some shows, I think.
Dude, come on, man. I would love to get up to the show.
Just warn me.
Absolutely. Okay. And we appreciate y'all listening to Braves Country. And hope you'll like and subscribe and follow and share and all that sort of stuff. And we hope you make it a great day.
Go Braves.
Go Braves.
Go Dawgs. Sickle. This episode of Braves Country is sponsored by our Braves fan friends down at Century 21, Solomon Properties in Savannah, Georgia, servicing the historic downtown Savannah area, the island area, and Atlanta's beach, beautiful Tybee Island, Georgia. Call Joel Solomon today, 912-604-0896. That's 912-604-0896 for all your real estate needs on the Georgia coast.
The Braves Country Podcast supports the Warrior Alliance and the Shepherd's Men. Check out thewarrioralliance.com and shepherdsmen.com for more info, resources, and how to get involved. That's thewarrioralliance.com and theshepherdsmen.com. The Braves Country Podcast would like to thank all of our veterans.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.